about four fundamental needs that we need as a Christian. The first is that we have a need to know. One of the crying needs of today's society is to have more knowledge of God's Word. In Hosea, the 4th chapter, verse 6, it tells us that God's ancient people was destroyed for the lack of their knowledge. And in John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus even said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But if people knew the truth, we would not have the religious babble that we have today. Had the truth been taught and adhered to strictly from the days of Christ until now, we would be living in a different world. Christians are commanded to let the word of Christ dwell in them richly. In Colossians 3, verse 16, it talks about this. So I ask tonight, does that adverb, richly, describe the way the word of Christ dwells in you? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart." See, the Israelites of old were ignorant of God's righteousness, and this ignorance caused them to go about to establish their own righteousness. The same condition obtains in the religious world today, and even to a lesser extent in the church. These ancient people had a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge of His Word. Their zeal was commendable, but their lack of knowledge was not. Their misdirected zeal becomes religious fanaticism. The happy condition is directed zeal connected with a proper knowledge of God's Word to direct that zeal in proper ways. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the donkey his master's manger. But Israel doth not know, my people do not consider." So, some may ask, what is the secret to gaining this knowledge of the Word of God? Well, really, there's no secret. It's simply done by studying to show thyself approved unto God, as Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And then in John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, "Search the Scriptures, for them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So we are to search the Scriptures to gain this knowledge. The second thing we need as Christians is the need to grow. All of us once were physical babes, but by proper food and proper exercise, we grew. Some grew tall, some grew out. Some grew tall like Dale, some grew out like me. But we grew to mature. All Christians were once babe in Christ, just as we were babes in the beginning of our lives. But by proper food and exercise, some have grown. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We grow in God's grace by conducting ourselves in such a way that He is pleased with us. You see, we cannot grow while we are filled with malice or guile or hypocrisies or envies or evil speakings. So if this stuff is in our lives, then we need to rid ourselves of these things. Listen to how Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Some of us have our religious systems too full of poison to grow enough. When we get rid of these things and then desire the sincere milk of the word, there will not be any question about our growth. Then it will not be said of us as it was said of some by the early Christians. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, it says, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such and have become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." We should not always remain on a quote unquote milk diet. The third thing we need is we need to glow. Among many other things, the Webster Dictionary, when searching for the definition of the word glow, says that it means to shine with an intense or white heat, or to be animated, or to have light, or to be filled with earnest. Are these descriptions of the word glow not terms that we use as a Christian? Jesus said it after this fashion in Matthew 5, verse 16. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Do not skip too lightly over that adverb, so. Do not let your light shine by small spurts or desires that we have, but let it shine steadily. Let it so shine. Let it continue to shine. And the way that we do that is told in Philippians 2, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. When a Christian is blameless and harmless, he is letting his light shine continually. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, the last thing we need as Christians is that we need to go. So we've talked about how we need to know and how we need to grow, and we've talked about how we need to glow. And once we have done all these things, then we are ready to go. As Christians, we are saved so that we can help to save. The first word in the Great Commission is the word go. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And then again, Mark 16, 15 and 16. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." See, the early church took this farewell message of Jesus to his apostles seriously. The Jerusalem church was never more alive than when it was dispersed. In Acts 8, verse 4, it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." We're not doing much of that going everywhere as Christians today. I'm not an alarmist, but if we're not careful, we're going to have a class of professional preachers on our hands who will almost take the word go out of the Great Commission. Just about 30 years after Jesus gave this marching orders to the apostles, we hear Paul saying the gospel had been preached to every creature which is under heaven in Colossians 1, verse 23. God wants the gospel preached to every creature in every generation. We have large congregations, and within 50 to 100 miles, there's thousands of souls who have never heard a gospel sermon. This is not the way things should be. We need to be willing to take every opportunity and every chance we have to spread the word, the gospel of Jesus. So maybe tonight you've been thinking about baptism and how it's necessary in your salvation. And maybe tonight you're ready to put Christ on in baptism. Then I would say to you, there's no better opportunity than what you have right now. Or maybe you've been baptized, but you realize that your knowledge of the will of God is not where it needs to be. Or maybe you realize that you have fallen away and you've not been motivated for the gospel of Christ, and you need the prayers of the church. If you need to be baptized, or you need to have prayers of the church, or you need anything, won't you come while we stand?